Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Clarksdale.
Oh, yes. Brewsdale?
That's what I would go with, yes, Brewsdale.
That is a fertile land for some great football players.
Oh, yeah. A lot of greats come out of Clarksdale. I mean, two all-pros currently in the NFL, J.T. Gray and Elgton Jenkins, both from Clarksdale.
Terrence Metcalf from Clarksdale?
From Clarksdale.
Oh, sorry, I just lost my
Mario bag. Hagan.
Mario Hagan, yep.
From Clarksdale.
Yeah. Kelly Jones.
Kelly Jones, the newest Bulldog from Clarksdale. That's
Charles Mitchell.
Charles Mitchell is another one, yeah. Metcalf is like the exception. That's a state.
It's a state.
That's old school Melvin Smith going to the Delta and getting players.
Yeah. Ole Miss back in the day would have no shot in Clarksdale.
Metcalf was like the only one they ever got. So,
and I think Mississippi State's presence made a difference for Kelly Jones too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I think Strange Brew would have made a difference.
Strange Brew makes a difference wherever they go. There's no question about that. And you need to check them out at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. If you want to have great coffee every single morning, you can have the best. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com. I tweeted out a link on Monday. Check that out if you have it. You know, we talked. Jackie Sherrill used to always like to talk about, when state wins, you got to put that coffee cup on the edge of your desk. Coffee cups these days, that's old news. You want to get one of those cool tumblers. And so they've got a bunch of them at Strange Brew. I sent out one, the M over S one, which, you know. One thing, by the way, I want to point something out. I'm going to point this out to you, Robbie. So when I look at College Corner's website, right, everything that's sold out is State and M over S and Walking Bully.
Shocking.
They got a lot of Banner M stuff, though, if you're interested.
Shocking. They got plenty of that.
Plenty of that.
In the back.
But
the other stuff's running out
pretty
quick.
The other stuff, it flies off the shelf, which is thanks to you guys. We appreciate you shopping at College Corner. When you're looking for something maroon and white, check out the two locations in the Jackson area, in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet and Flowood by the Half Shell, or shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant there on the corner of Washington and Main Street. The best lunch in town, the best blue plate, the best country cooking. But then they're able to turn it around every single night when they're open and have some great white tablecloth dining. So if you want to have something casual, you head there during the day, and after the sun goes down, you want to get all gussied up, you head over there.
Gussied up.
I love saying that. You head over there in the evening time. Whatever you're looking for, you can get a great meal every time you walk in the door at Restaurant Tyler. Still no offensive coordinator as of 1:51 p.m. here on a Monday afternoon. No reason to think that there will be one. Zach Arnett, as you know, left yesterday for the coaches' convention. Left after the women's basketball game. Robbie saw him there.
I did. So saw him with my own two eyes.
I really wish you had gone and spoken to him, and you could have screwed something else up.
Hey, Zach, how you doing? Well, that's not how you talk to me.
That's how you're going
to
greet me? We're not going to shake hands? You know, what's going on?
Well, that's you're just approaching me the wrong way.
The Robbie Falk, Zach Arnett / Jim Halpert, Charles Minor relationship, I'm going to Dwight Schrute the hell out of that. I'll just be honest with you. Every time we're in a press conference.
You're gonna ag it on.
You know now that I can go to press conferences again because we're back to 11 a.m., baby.
And he'll probably be early.
I was talking to somebody at MSU the
other
day.
He's like a drill sergeant.
They were like, we might have those at 9 in the morning. I mean, it might literally be like, I drop my kids off at school, and I come to the press conference. It might be that easy.
Well, you slackers are late.
Every time you speak.
Yeah.
This is how I'm going to phrase every question to Zach Arnett. I'm just going to let you know. It's going to be like, Coach, Robbie and I were on the podcast the other day, and he was talking about how he feels that your defense just hasn't really been getting it done in late game situations. I look at the last two games and see that, you know, you were able to close those games out.
He actually might be like, you know what? He's right.
He might go that way, but he might go the other way with you. He might just be like,
he might be like, you know, whatever I say,
yeah,
he's going the opposite.
So, you know,
that's the thing about Arnett. Like, you have to think about every, like, if I say the when I'm supposed to say, like, and or something,
yeah,
I just screwed up the whole thing. Like, you got to think about every
word.
You're
going to end up making a Ben Wade up there. You're going to be like, I'm freaking out right now.
I've had some classic moments with coaches.
Yeah.
You know, I had the thing with Mullen
about
the days of our lives. And then Becky.
Yeah, your wife called.
And then, you know, Leach said something about, like, you know, we, like, I must have gone into sports writing for the math or something like that.
Yeah, Lamonis didn't want to talk to you in
Omaha.
That's
right. And then he walks into your Christmas party and was like, "You told me Robbie wasn't going to be here."
They did.
I wouldn't have come if Robbie was going to be here.
I forgot about that. Can we tell him the other one, the other great one about you with Vic Schaefer?
Oh yeah,
come talk with me, brother. So let's tell this story. I'll give you my perspective, and then you could tell what Vic wanted to talk to you about. So we're just sitting there. We were talking to Vic, have his press conference, and he wraps up. And as he stands up, he looks at Robbie and goes, "Robbie, come outside and have a word with me, brother." And literally, it was like being in fifth grade again.
Like,
everybody was in there like, oh.
I know. I looked at everybody. I was like, what?
We all knew. So he goes out there. He comes back in, and you can just tell he'd been crawled. What did he say?
So, Vic State had played Troy. I think it was Troy that they played, like, the night before or something. They played a non-conference team and just beat the dog out of them. And the next day, it was football season. So, we had, like, a feature on the front page of, you know, I forget what was going on. But it was a feature on the front page for somebody. My game story was on the second page. So it's not on the front page of the sports section, it's on the second page. And Vic was upset about that. He thought that should have been on the front page, like front and center. And I told him, I was like, well, first of all, Vic, I just write the story and send it in. I'm not the editor. I don't place the story anywhere.
Send it to Nashville.
Yeah, right. I send it in, and, you know, Danny P puts it where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And I said, I mean, quite frankly, Vic, you beat, like, directional school by 50 points in the middle of football season. Like, that's just not – you're just not going to get primary real estate right now, okay?
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I've been all over the country following your team for the last 5 years. So, like, I think you've gotten some great coverage from – and I came back in and I said that. And, like, Neil Price was like, I lived in Knoxville where the Lady Vols were, like, a big deal. And they never got the front page.
You left out the best part, because I remember it, was when he said, "You don't think that Dawn Staley's using this against me in recruiting?
This is recruiting tactic.
That we're not on the front page of our hometown paper? You don't think that Gino Auriemma's using this?" Like, when you told me that, I was just like, okay.
But you know what?
He's lost it.
You know what?
What? I bet he got the front page next time.
I'll say this about Vic. Like, you talk about somebody that gets it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a guy that was not going to be told women's basketball doesn't belong.
No.
Women's basketball is not a big deal.
No.
He, from the very beginning, he wanted women's basketball to be important to the state, and he made it important.
You're right.
How many times have you seen 10,005 in the hump since 2004?
Only for the women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest atmospheres I've ever experienced was South Carolina Mississippi State women's basketball.
Yeah.
So that's a testament to him. But that's just. That just tells you what kind of personality Vic Schaefer is, and his he was so demanding of his team getting the media it deserved. I think it was almost kind of like a bully. Like, you better come cover my team, because we would have every publication was there for just a random press conference.
Yeah, I was always there.
Yeah. Like, you felt like you had to be there or Vic was going to call you out.
Come have a word with me, brother. That's one of the
funniest things. One time he called out, like, you know, I wish the Clarion Ledger would actually, the state's largest newspaper would actually come cover my press conferences or something like
that. He did.
Tyler.
Yeah.
The Texas guy.
Which now, you know, yeah. Now they're best buds.
Exactly.
They're both Longhorns.
No, I went to, Vic had texted me, like, I always feel, like, obligated when he comes to Mississippi, like, I need to go see him, even if he's in Jackson.
That's a good relationship to keep, because that's the guy who's, you know.
He'll, like, send me a message, be like, hey, I'm going to be in Jackson.
Yeah.
Just letting you know. And so, like, I went and saw him play Jackson State, and I got a good chat with him. He's a good guy.
Yeah. That's a good one. I don't have a story like that is what makes me sad. I don't have, like, a coach, like, you know.
Most of mine are coaches, like, you know, crawling me.
We had Mullen.
Yeah. That time when he cussed me out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to. What did he say? I'm going to be suspended for two games.
He told me he was going to be suspended for two games, and he was going to have to fly to Indianapolis to meet with the NCAA because I did a Vine video of his team doing workouts out on the practice field.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, every single person out there
was taking video.
Was doing it.
Yeah.
But, of course, I was
That's how long this has been, by the way. He did a Vine.
Lee Davis is telling me, Dan said he's going to let you stay.
Surprise, like, she had time.
Oh.
Just saying. I'm just saying. It's okay.
Let's not even do that.
Well, you know, we aren't. So, I'm trying to think. Like, I had two phone calls from John Cohen.
That you didn't answer?
No, I didn't answer the one the other day. I had two that I did answer where he was upset at me. One was before Lamonis got hired, and I had done a podcast like, you know, John had John had gone on the radio and said, I'm going to hire somebody who has College World Series experience.
Yep.
And then it clearly wasn't going to be McDonald, and it clearly wasn't going to be Schlossnagel, and I was like, he missed out.
Yeah.
And he tried to play the whole, I mean, I could have meant an assistant or a player, and I'm like, yeah, we all know that's kind of not what you meant.
Yeah.
So, not that it didn't work out for State perfectly, but yeah. And then he got on me, the Andy Koska thing when Leach wouldn't let him answer a question or whatever and wouldn't let him ask a question. And I went on the radio and I was just like, look, if you don't want the guy to ask questions, that's fine. Pull him off to the side and be like, this is the situation. You don't have to embarrass him like that. And John tried to justify it as like, you know, the Clarion. And I was like, John, nobody knows more than what the Clarion Ledger has done than me. But still. And I was like, and he was like, oh, you're right. And he talked about he took Koska out to lunch. I'm like, what the hell? I never got a lunch out of you.
Have I ever publicly talked about the hot dog thing?
I don't know how we got on this topic.
We're just airing everything out.
It's funny. Festivus was like 2 weeks ago, but we're going to air the grievances. Tell the hot dog story. It is a classic.
I know some people remember that time when I tweeted out a picture of the hot dog at
that thing was
at halftime.
Rancid.
So it's not, you know, the hot dog, I'm sure, was fine when it was cooked, but when it sits in those things, and it collects moisture and stuff, something happens to the hot dog, and it just looks bad. So I get the hot dog, and I'm just starving. I'm in the press box, and like, there's nothing to eat but ice cream. Of course, I'm going to have the ice cream, but I also want something else.
Want some sustenance.
That's right. So I get the hot dog. I unwrap the paper, and I'm like, oh my God, this thing is blue. Like, it was literally blue. It looked like it could kill me.
I gotta see if I can find that tweet.
I think I might have deleted it. I don't know.
Yeah, you might have.
So, I tweet out, and I said, should I eat this? Is all I said. And it was, like, just getting, like, you know, just ratioed or whatever. And the Monday after that, I get a phone call from someone in the athletic department. I don't want to name
who it is. Don't name any names.
Someone in the athletic department who's no longer here calls me and said, do you realize how much time we just spent in a meeting with all the athletic officials talking about your tweet? And I was like, what did I tweet? What did I say? He was like, your hot dog tweet. I said, y'all spent an hour of your time or whatever talking about my hot dog tweet. Like, John Cohen's talking about it. They're all, you know,
we can't have these hot dogs. We can't have hot dogs.
Like, they wanted to address, like, what's going on with the hot dogs? Is there something wrong with the hot dogs? And then I was in trouble. Like, why am I in trouble for this?
Yeah, you just tweeted a picture of the hot dog.
And so, I mean, I was like, I apologize. But he was like, you're getting free food and you're complaining about it? I was like, well, I mean, if you give us a piece of crap and tell us to eat it, is that, should we not be able to complain about that just because it's free?
Yeah. That's what I say all the time. Like, and contrary to popular belief, I don't complain about the free food, but
I did.
If I had opened that up and been like, I'd have been like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I probably would have had the same reaction.
I didn't mean anything bad by it. And I actually ended up contacting the company that made those hot dogs,
yeah,
because I respect the people that made those and they make great food.
Yeah.
And I wanted to let them know, like, I was not taking a shot.
You thought it was funnier more than anything.
I thought it was just funny.
Yeah.
The hot dog looked really bad.
Yeah.
And it was actually good. I actually ate it.
Oh.
And it was good.
I would not have done that.
Well, I didn't eat it that week. I ate it the next week. And I did get the stomach virus after that.
Theo had an incident like that this year.
With a hot dog?
Yeah. Have you not seen it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was about to say, I got a picture of it. Yeah, it's oof.
It's just, you know, hot dogs don't look good.
They don't keep great.
They don't.
Like, they're off, right off the grill, they're great.
Yeah.
But.
And it's not really, like, I don't blame the people that made them.
No.
Like, and like I said, the people that.
It's a bad situation. Those hot dogs, when we get them at halftime, are probably a couple hours old.
Yeah.
At best.
And like I said, the company that did that, I respect greatly, and I love their food. But it was just funny. That day, like, I tweeted that picture out, and 2 days later. We've been talking about this for an hour.
I'm just trying to picture the email chain of this tweet goes out there, like the tweet's included in the email, like we're gonna have to have a meeting about this.
Leah Beasley, John Cohen,
Rhett maybe at that time was
I don't think he was there.
I don't know. Scott Weatherby.
They put that. He said they put it on like the projector screen. It just has my picture up there. Should I eat this?
Should I eat this?
Let's talk about this, guys.
Let's talk about this. I'm like, by the way, at least one person was like, I don't see what's wrong with that hot dog.
Yeah,
one person stood up and said that.
Of course they did.
That thing was rancid. I can't believe you ate it.
The funny thing is, I said I ate the hot dog. I didn't eat that one. I ate the one the next week.
Yeah.
Just like for like a truce.
Yeah.
I got sick.
That's why I don't eat hot dogs. You know what hot dogs are?
Yes, I do. We better not say that on.
I can say it and make it work. Just got to use the Dusty Rhodes voice.
Okay.
Lips and ear holes, brother. Do we have any more? I'm trying to think. Do I have another one?
I don't know how we got down this path, but I'm enjoying it.
It's fun. We're talking about Arnett calling you out.
Yeah.
Arnett so far has he called me out. He got me for. I asked him.
He said that he didn't like that question the way you asked
it. Well, no, what he said was, I asked him, I said, you know, I gave a couple of examples of what had happened in 2020. I was like, in this spring, you know, what's the one area you feel like you've got to get better at? And he's just like, well, if we're being honest here, I don't think that's a very good question. We got to get better in all areas. Like, I'm not going to just focus on one area. We got to focus on all areas. That's just not a real question.
Is that necessary?
I get it. I get it. You could have just said pass defense. That's fine.
Yeah.
You had to get me. That's fine. And then, here's the funny part is I saw him at a practice when he wasn't playing the role of Zach Arnett.
Yeah.
And I was like, you called me out? He's like, no, I didn't. And I was like, hold on. Because I had clipped it. I had it on my phone. And I was like, this dude, he's like, well, it wasn't a good question.
He is totally different. I don't know if he feels like he's got a, you know, be a little more stern up there. But, like, when he gets away from the microphone, he's not so gruff.
Right.
You know?
Right, right. Well, I mean, I get that. Another one for me, not the same thing, but I was interviewing Spurrier, and I was not 100% sure if he was inside or outside receivers. I just was not. I was like, I want to be sure I'm right. So I Googled it. And his thing said Steve Spurrier Jr., son of, and it was his mom's name. Not son of Steve Spurrier, son of whatever his mom's name is. I don't remember.
Yeah.
So before the interview starts, I'm like, I just want to let you know that if you Google you, it says you're the son of your mom, not your dad. I thought he was going to pee himself.
He's laughing.
He's like, oh, that's funny. I'm going to have to tell dad about that one. That's a good one there. And then, like, Lamonis and I haven't ever had, like, a real run-in.
I need to find out if there's some kind of beef between, like, I don't know if
you
he,
and
like,
Lamonis? No, there's not.
Is he just playing a role, you think?
I think he just likes to pick on you.
He unfollowed me on Twitter.
Oh, maybe there is some heat then.
I think he unfollowed everybody, though.
He never followed me, I don't think.
I think he unfollowed, like, all the media.
Yeah.
Like, it was after the national championship, too. Like, I don't know if he was, like, just trying to get away
He's
from
big
it.
He's big-timing us.
I don't know.
That might be it. He might have just been like...
He Matt Whited us.
Oh, now, let's not go down that path. Let's not talk about that. Love you, Matt.
Matt unfollowed everybody.
Matt follows, like, six people on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like he follows, like, the football account... I think he probably follows Arnett now. I'm sure he followed Leach.
And at one point it was like Neil following like Jason Crowder.
Well, you know,
which was a slap in the face.
Crowder is an important guy. How dare you? Crowder's very important. I like Jason. You're right over there. You've turned into me.
I don't know.
You're
like
the
I
one
just
coughing
gotten,
today.
I've gotten into a coughing fit here.
I think we're all in trouble. I'm trying to think, is there anything left? Like Hallen and I
never had anything with Hallen.
Like his first after game press conference, I made him really, really happy. I do remember that because he had said something in his pregame press conference.
You're talking about the Lakers or something?
No. He was in the pregame press conference. He had talked about wanting to be able to score in transition even after made buckets.
Yeah.
And in that first ever game they played against like Eastern Washington or whoever it was, they had 8 points. I kept track. 8 points, 4 buckets off the other team's makes. So I asked him about that in the press conference. I was like, you brought this up the other day, and you had. And he's like, we had eight points. That's exactly right. And he was so happy that somebody else had been paying attention. I guess, but yeah, Hallen used to love to talk about the Lakers with us.
Oh yeah, huge Lakers fan.
He was talking. Sometimes he's like, I don't know if you know this guy, Gary Vitti. And you and I were like, we know exactly who Gary Vitti is. We know he's a legend. And he's like, oh, he's great. So I saw the only time I ever saw Hallen out in public. I'm not making this up. Was at The Force Awakens. I went to go see it with Bob. He was a movie guy.
Yeah, I saw him at Free State of Jones.
And
he sat right in front of me at Free State of Jones.
He walked right past me and Bob. This was back when Bob still worked here.
Yeah.
Didn't say a word. He was locked into The Force Awakens.
He was a huge movie guy. Like, he would go to the movies by himself.
So, and then I'm trying to think, at Cannizzaro, all jokes aside, like, Bob and I did that, we did an Ask Bob Carskadden with him.
Yeah.
Which was fun, but nothing really noteworthy.
He would have been a fun guy to like have around like for a while, but yeah, it was
I'm sure he rather would.
Yeah.
And then
we dropped in a couple of names in this show that I had a lot of interactions with Andy. Like I'd gotten really close with Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was giving me a good bit of information and stuff.
Yeah.
But
no offense to Lamonis. Lamonis did a great job coaching that team. But I think that Cannizzaro probably could have gotten there too.
Eventually, yeah,
that team
I feel
was
like
just,
it.
Yeah, because I mean it's the same guys.
If they would have continued to be kind of distracted.
Yeah. I don't know that because Bednar signed with Lamonis.
Yeah.
So I mean he's such a huge piece.
But, and then there were some that signed with Gary too.
Yeah.
Like it was kind of like a huge mixture. And Cohen had some players on that team, too.
Rowdy was still one of his players. I think so. Luke Hancock was, too.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, just...
It was like four different coaches had something
to do with
that.
It was a hodgepodge.
Yeah.
So, and I give Lamonis full credit for being able to pull the strings on that. I mean, he did a great job. Lamonis and I, like, I'm trying to think if we ever had any kind of run-in. I will tell you a good story about Chris Lamonis. That after Mike Leach passed away... Like 2 days later, maybe the day later, he actually called me. He's like, "Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just checking on me." Because, you know, and a lot of people checked on me after that. And I felt guilty about that. I don't know if I think I brought that up on the podcast I did without you. Where I was just like, you know, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's weird. It's really weird. It still is right now. Like, you know, here we are almost a month later.
Well,
Chris
was closer to Leach than any of us.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was just like, I just want to check on you. I was just like, I'm good. I appreciate it. But I just thought that was like really nice that, you know, and I hate to out him here for that because he did it, you know, as a friend. But I just want to show you what kind of guy Chris Lamonis is.
He's a great guy.
So, Moorhead did we have?
Moorhead was fun. Like, he really was fun.
He was a great guy. Not a good coach, but a great guy. The I think he was mad at me that one time after the LSU game. Because I had been giving him the business, you know, because that team was not good in 19. And remember, I don't know if you remember this or not, my cousin, Steven, certainly does, because he clipped the video and still sends it to me every now and then. But he finished the press conference with, "We all right, Brian? We all right?"
Yeah.
And I was just like, yep.
Yeah, and like he was like too in tune to what everybody was saying.
He had a little, and I don't mean this from like the I'm a hypocritical liar scumbag point of view. But he had a little too much Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
And I knew he kept up on social media and he was looking at stuff and he was listening to the podcast and reading
articles.
I don't want my coaches doing that. I really do want, I know the players can't help it, but from a head coaching perspective, I do want you to block out the noise.
Yes.
Like, head coaches are smart enough to know when they're on the hot seat.
Yep.
They know when they need to win. I don't need you reading and listening to podcasts and stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
thank you for listening, but it really does you no good, I don't think, to listen to some of this.
Morehead laughed really hard one time because I would drop my oldest daughter off at middle school, and there was always this kid walking up who looked just like Morehead's kid, and he was a big, tall kid. I was like, that's got to be his son.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd see him every day, and I never said anything to the kid because, you know, he doesn't know me, but I was just like, there's Morehead's kid. And then I told him, I was like, and then one day I saw him walking up with a Cincinnati Bengals shirt on. He was like, that's not my damn kid. I was like, you're right.
Yeah, I shared a few conversations about the Steelers.
Yeah, y'all were Steelers, big Steelers. Yeah, I remember you wore a Steelers polo one time. He was just like, look at that.
Yeah. He would call it out in the middle of the press conference, like, I like your shirt.
One time in the press conference, I asked a question, and he looked at me, he's like, did you get a haircut? And I was like, yeah. He's like, you look good.
The best one was when Hevesy came in here and was like, all right, I was told that one of you guys did.
Oh, I forgot about that, yes. Kyle Niblett sold me out, sold me down the river. So we're sitting there doing, this was when we did the preseason media day.
Yeah.
So we got to talk to all the assistants and all that. Hevesy walks to the podium and he's like, which one of you does an impression of me? And I'm just like,
right off the bat.
That's the first thing he said. It was literally, he was like, hey, how you guys doing? Anything? Who does the impression of me? And I'm like, me? He's like, well, let's hear it. And so I tried to roll one off, and he's like, it's not very good.
Yeah, it was the one about, like, popping your hips.
Pop your hips or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's like, it's not very good. And Kyle Niblett sold me out. He told Hevesy, he's like, by the way.
Yeah, before you go in there, you
got him fired up. You got him all riled up. Have you ever heard the Matt Stevens story about
Hevesy? Yes.
So I'll tell this now. Matt Stevens writes a story about Hevesy, like a big profile, makes him look really good. Mm-hmm. It's a good story. But he mentions, like, him dipping in the story. He gets a phone call from Hevesy. I told my wife I quit dipping.
He was only dipping at practice, but Matt Stevens observed.
Yeah.
It was something like he was at his desk or something.
Yeah, and,
like Hevesy took a big
dip in.
Yeah. Oh man,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on in.
Now that
we spent 30 minutes on that. That was fun though.
By the way, DeMar Hamlin just discharged from the hospital.
That is fantastic.
That is
great to hear.
Incredible.
Great to hear. One of our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Whenever you're looking to cook out it's going to be cold this weekend. We were just talking about this before the show started, that it's 70 degrees on Wednesday and it's going to be in the 30s on Friday night. But if you want to stay inside and you want to get a big pot of chili or a big pot of spaghetti, beef is great. But if you do want to brave the elements, get out there and fire up the grill, stand next to the open flame, I mean, a few steaks will never go wrong. Check it out. Head over to your grocery stores and to your butchers. Talk to them. Put out some great, great products. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food. I've never added
Might as well.
Robbie and I were there this Friday. We had an interesting. We're going to have to call out a friend of ours here, our friend John Sokoloff, who, as you all know, Lane Kiffin hates. So we're at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. He got a salad.
Yeah, that was kind of disturbing.
That was weird.
But look.
Oh, yeah,
they have everything you need.
If you want to go healthy, they've got you. Here's the thing about Two Brothers smoked meats. Smoked meats generally tend to be pretty healthy.
They really are.
They're not fried. There's all the fat renders out. They got all the great chicken sandwiches, and I got the chicken chipotle tacos. Yeah, they got the little chipotle ranch on there, but for the most part, I mean, that's not bad. You can eat low cal and still eat delicious.
That's right.
If I'm selling you on trying to eat healthy, you know it's good. I wouldn't send you to a health food place that was tofu and sprouts. You know I wouldn't. You can eat good and eat good for you at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products and great service. Every business promises it. Advantage Business Systems, well, they can deliver it. And they deliver it with 47 years of experience. That's how they've kept the doors open, by taking care of customers, taking care of them by treating them like their neighbors. Because they are. They're Mississippi just like you are. So when you need new technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And when that product needs some service, just call them back. You can talk to the same guy who made you the sale. And they'll send somebody out a lot of times that very same day. The number is 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. I tweeted it out last night, some great new quarter zips from The Row. These things are fantastic, and they are the M over S. We are, if I did my math right, 38 days from first pitch over at Duty Noble Field. So, and it's going to be cold, so you need a nice new jacket. Hit them up at The Rogue. Also, right now, they've got select styles on sale for 30% off. That's in-store and online at therogue.com. The M over S, the quality brands, and The Rogue. Don't live the three-stripe life. Shop at The Rogue. So anyway, Zach Arnett looking for coaches. I will say this. I feel like once the offensive coordinator is in place, everything else will go into place pretty quickly. The running backs, the tight ends, and then obviously they need a defensive line coach. That is trending heavily to our old friend David Turner.
You would think.
It feels like he's the number one guy at this point.
As I was told the other day, Jeff Phelps is still the defensive line coach, and I think that's just kind of a technicality at this point. I do not expect that Jeff Phelps will be back with Mississippi State next year, but nothing official on that. It looks like Mississippi State is going to have to hire a defensive line coach, and that one just makes sense, right? I mean, David Turner is open right now. He doesn't have a job lined up. I know for a fact that David Turner would take the Mississippi State job based on what I've heard, and it just makes sense. It falls right in line with what Zach Arnett's wanting to do with state of Mississippi recruiting and recruiting as a whole. I mean, David Turner can recruit anywhere, and also a great defensive line coach. It just makes sense.
Between Turner, Washington, assuming Washington stays, which I think he will, Bumpus, Tony Hughes, Will Friend, and then we'll see who the other guys are, obviously. But that's from a recruiting perspective. And I think Brock's a good recruiter, too.
Really,
that's about as strong as State's ever had.
Yeah.
From a recruiting perspective. Maybe going back to like Jackie Stass when you had Jim Tompkins and Melvin Smith, those guys could recruit. But like up and down the staff, you've got guys who can get players, I think. And I really do think, and I'm not saying it's going to be like when Hugh Freeze got to Ole Miss and there's going to, all of a sudden you're going to see top five classes at Mississippi State or anything like that. But I think there's going to be a much more.
There's going to be an uptick, I think.
Uptick is the word I guess I would use. There's going to be an emphasis on recruiting that maybe you haven't seen at Mississippi State in quite a while. I think Moorhead emphasized recruiting, but his staff weren't as good of recruiters as what you're going to see this year with Mississippi State.
No, they worked hard. They worked extremely hard. But, I mean, a lot of that was Moorhead. He was
heading
up a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe that took away from some of what they did on the field. I don't know. But the thing about it is these are good recruiters, but they're good coaches too. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you get in David Turner, you got a great SEC defensive line coach that has done it for
here.
I don't know, like
done it
years.
Here.
Yeah. Chad Bumpus is an up-and-coming guy, and we know that he can coach wide receivers, but I think he's going to be able to recruit really well. Will Friend has been coaching in the SEC forever, and coaching offensive lines, and no matter what you hear from the Auburn and Tennessee fans that don't seem to like him very much, he's a good coach, and I think he's going to be a great recruiter. So you got all these coaches that are not only good, really good recruiters, but I think really good coaches. I think it's a great chance for Mississippi State to take a step forward. The big question is, what are they going to do at offensive coordinator? And that is the huge question that has to be answered. Mm-hmm. State's got to nail this hire. You got to have a really good offensive coordinator, I feel like.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like because it's so late in the process and because it's just going to be tough to get a quarterback period, that you sort of have to shape your hire around Will Rogers a little bit? And I know Will Rogers is only going to be the quarterback here for one more year. But in year one, you have to have a guy whose offense can work with a pass-first, less-than-mobile quarterback.
Well, I think that's a good question because, I mean, you can say, well, you know, it might take some time or whatever, but I feel like you got to have some results this year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Zach Arnett can come out here and be, you know, have 4 or 5 wins.
Mm-hmm.
I think State needs to focus on a guy that can, at the very least, run an offense with Will Rogers. And that's not to say that they're going to be, you know, an air raid person, or maybe it's somebody that's versatile. Maybe it's somebody that can design an offense that is going to bring out the strengths of what Will Rogers does. And then after Will Rogers leaves, maybe he can change some things up. But I do think that you have to consider that at the very least. You have to consider, you know, what an offense is going to look like with Will Rogers at the helm. Or you have to get Braden Locke and Sawyer Robertson or one of the two back from the portal and tell them, hey, it's open competition. I don't know. But State's got to get a guy that's going to be able to win this year and also win long term. And that's kind of the dilemma, I guess, that's in front of them. But and that too is why I think it's taken a while here. Arnett's got to get it right. I think that's something that's being lost. But people want to just hurry up and get a hire made. But I don't think that's how you handle this. I think you have to do your due diligence and get the right person in here for Mississippi State.
The other thing to consider is, and Arnett's not going to consider this, but I will, is that I keep coming back to it. You know, State missed in 18. They missed their up year. That should have been a 10-win year. And it wasn't. It will hurt to miss it again. Because mm-hmm. then you're talking about a full decade where it will be at least 11, 12 years since you've won 10 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won it in 14.
And that's hard to do here.
It's very hard.
Hard to do here.
And like right now, if you just look at the roster as it's constructed right now, you know, you're thinking about like what, Chris Parsons' junior year? So like 26, 25? That's a long time to wait to get back to have that up year, especially when Ole Miss has had theirs. They had theirs 2 years ago.
Well, it really just depends on, you know, what State's doing in the portal, how guys are developing.
Mm-hmm.
With the portal being what it is now, I mean, you could turn some rosters over quick.
You can.
And get some players in here that can be difference makers.
Part of that might be the way that he's setting up the staff to be recruiters. He's thinking, I might need to do that.
Yeah. But you don't want to put Arnett in a really difficult situation
right
heading into 2024, because there's going to be a lot of pressure if he's not able to get something done this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of pressure on that tenure being quick, and he needs that. And again, that's why he's kind of taking his time on this. His job is on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're not seeing some of these guys returning that you like. Some people don't want to lose Mason Miller. Some people don't want to lose Jason Washington, guys like that. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, he's got to get the guys that are going to help him win ball games. His job's on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say those guys can't, but he believes that Will Friend gives him the best opportunity to win up front with what he does, I guess, recruiting or whatever. So,
all right. Tomorrow, we're back with the rumblings. Let's get into it. We haven't had one yet in the past couple of weeks. So we will jump back in, send your questions to us. We'll be happy to answer them. And then from there, the rest of the week, we've got basketball to talk about. We will have coaching news by the end of this week. I feel almost positive. Sure. We might have athletic director news by the end of this week as well.
I hope so.
We haven't talked much about that just because, honestly, that's another one where like they've done a good job of sealing things up. But I feel like they're coming down to the home stretch for that. For sure. So send in your questions. We'll get those on tomorrow's show. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.